One of the blessings I had, Robert, besides being, of course, my grandfather's grandson, was I helped him retire from the NAACP in 1978. I was 16 years old. I used to drive down with him every day. And in those moments, he would share with me the different experiences he had on all the different civil rights legislations. And in 1964, you need to understand the turmoil going on after the Kennedy assassination. And then also at the same time, the fact that President Johnson, who had been an opponent of a lot of civil rights legislation, at that time felt that it was important to get this done.
He said it would be a tribute to President Kennedy. He told Congress that maybe about a week after the Kennedy assassination.
But also, President Johnson isn't given enough credit. Well, that's true, Robert. Isn't given enough credit to understand the climate of the country. He felt it was important to do it then. So because he had the power, being a former Senate majority leader, he had the power to go in. He basically cajoled and pushed other senators to make the legislation move forward. My grandfather working with him.
Your grandfather was mainly the chief lobbyist for the NAACP is probably the best way to describe that, right?
And let me describe what that role actually was real quick, and that is the fact that he rounded up votes. He literally walked the halls of Congress, 435 members in the House, 100 members in the Senate, and he did the head counting. Because a lot of people don't know it's important to count to get that majority in both houses.
You saw last year, earlier this year, part of the Voting Rights Act overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. So what would Clarence Mitchell Jr. make of the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, 50 years later?
He would be upset, of course, being an architect also. And it's important to me also describe the role he played in the language. Another important part of this, Robert, is actually writing down the language, the law. And as my grandfather was also an attorney, so he knew the language that was necessary within the law. But the overturning of the part that he would be upset with has to do with which states are included in the Voting Rights Act. And I think today my grandfather would want to revisit that. He'd want to revisit which states really need to be in there.
Would a bill like the Civil Rights Act be passed today? There are old-timers in Washington who say that back in the 60s, yes, the nation was divided, but Congress was more collegial. Democrats and Republicans worked together.
People say that, and I appreciate that. And yes, they don't travel. They didn't travel back then like they do today. They travel, go back home. But at the same time, there was animosity. There were a lot of things going on back then. It took leadership from President Johnson. It took my grandfather's lobbying. It took a whole lot of people to make people come together. It's not, Robert, as if they just came together because it was the right thing to do. That's revisionist.
I was on the University of Maryland campus yesterday, and Mitchell Hall, the administration building, named for your grandfather, was on the field where they announced the Big Ten. Let's talk a little bit about that legacy, because you have an interesting connection to that building as a University of Maryland alum.
In 1979, they got rid of what was called then the Minorities Recruitment Office, which was necessary to acclimate young students, minorities coming on a huge college campus. And as a result of that, I was part of a protest, including Lawrence Bell, who later went on to become a city councilman, who was there. He was our BSU, Black Student Union president. We led a picket around that very building in 1979. Now, 10 years later, fast forward, Dr. John Toll, who was then president of University of Maryland, was naming that building after my grandfather. So I got a chance to let him know that that building that I helped to encircle with a picket line was now named after my grandfather.
You sense it's a victory for the family.
It was a huge flag. We want to put a flag on that building. Absolutely, Robert.
What is your grandfather's legacy when we think about the Civil Rights Act 50 years later?
The fact that my grandfather, who, by the way, was a registered independent, was able to go to both parties, Republicans and Democrats, to go to men and women and get them to see the wisdom in bringing this country together as opposed to dividing it. He was not a divisive man. He was someone that brought people together.
And the other thing I learned about your grandfather when I read Larry Gibson's book on Thurgood Marshall, your grandfather started out as a reporter.
He started out as a reporter with the Baltimore Afro-America. And one thing you did also may not have seen in there is he was a Golden Gloves boxer.
Wow.
His nickname was the Shamrock Kid, and he was 16-0. So that gave him his fighting spirit later on in life.
Okay. Reflecting on Clarence Mitchell Jr. on this, the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Civil Rights Act. C4, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Robert.